Down the Brass Stats, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
John Kelman.
Yes, sir.
Sir, it is not usual to hear me on matters political, but as a social worker, things that emanate out of politics, like the social issues, I would beg your permission to make comment on. I listened to your program and I heard a brother making a statement that really hurt me, and I would like to comment on it. The brother said, and I am not quoting him verbatim, but in essence, that if you could not be in his party, you could not taste of his hospitality. I've also heard on a previous occasion another brother from another party stating that if you're not affiliated with his party, you should starve. Now, statements like that frightens me. Barbados is just a small country. We know it to be 166 square miles, with about 300,000 people, whatever, that thing. And when we can be so divided that people can come and make such devastating statements, I think that we are really spinning tops in mud when we decide that we can come here and talk about our beautiful Barbados. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. I begin to wonder if people can allow political differences to erase from your mind that this little country in the mouth of the Caribbean Sea, if we had a natural disaster like an earthquake at about 7 or 8 on the Richter scale, at about 10 miles deep, that both B's and D's would be blasted or damned respectively. Do you ever think of that? Yes, they have got the democratic right to speak their mind. But it is frightening to think where we are heading. And in closing, I am predicting that if this continues, we are on a route, on a one-way ticket to perishing.
Well, fortunately, I don't think that the majority of people in Barbados practice their politics like that.
I never said the majority.
And that's why I think that it is dangerous when any caller comes in here and tries to project Barbados along that particular path.
Exactly.
Because I think it's dangerous for us to do that. That's not the Barbados that we have known over the years. There are a lot of things that have changed. I mean, the number of shootings and that sort of thing that you hear around here now, I mean, that's a significant change, and it is not for the better. You got to be very careful how many things you push in that direction. You don't want Barbados to go there.
That's right, and I'll just say this bit. If you've got 1 gallon of good, fresh milk, take a little lime, cut it, squeeze that in it, and you look in that pail, and you have something which I have known it to be called, I don't know if you know it, Barnaclava. Not at all good for food. One lime can do that. So although we are not going 100% going that way, the little that is going spells disaster. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Stacks.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Hello.
Well, I'm calling about Mr. Ellis. I can't get it. How to put it? What I'm calling about is the sewage bill we have to pay on the sewage. I thought that it was only the people that connected to the sewage, that got to the sewage, would have had to pay this bill.
What made you think so?
Well, I ain't hooked up to the sewage.
You're not
hooked up to... I'm very far from the sewage.
Yeah, but you understand. You haven't heard any discussion about why the government extended it to the whole country, did you?
I can't remember. I wouldn't say that I didn't hear.
Okay.
I can't remember.
So what's your argument against that?
I remember she said everybody have to help bring back the country or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, so that is the citizens. That is what
it's from that angle, yes. Because the amount of work, I mean, put it this way, the amount of money that is required to correct that sewage problem there, if you relied exclusively on the pool of people who are connected, I don't believe you'll ever be able to get all that is required. In any case, you may very well still have to get some assistance. But the problem is even bigger than that, as I understand it. It is not just the South Coast that you have to look at. No, they've had to correct some problems down at the Bridgestone sewage treatment plant. And that was just to correct a problem. That has nothing to do with the further development of it. And along with that, Barbados has been told for quite some time now that we cannot continue with the situation that we have on the west coast of the island, that part of Barbados urgently needs to be sewered as well. So the money that is being picked up, as I understand it, really has more to do with the big picture rather than just one part of it. Hence why you and I, who are not connected to the South Coast Sewage Project, have to pay.
So, Mr. Ellis,
yes.
How are we going to pay all these bills? And out of the little money that I was trying to to live on, and all these things that you have to pay, how are we going to get them?
I know the question, and I want to say to you that it is a real dilemma for the country, because if you don't do something like this, what else are you going to do? Now, remember, you heard why we had to do what we've done, right? What is your understanding of it? Let me put it this way.
I know you don't have much time because news coming up, but...
I got enough time for you.
Oh. Something I listened to earlier, with what Mark said. Sometimes I don't really, enjoy his thing. But today, I agree with everything that Mark said.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians should cut back some of their salary. They should do some kind of cutting back to help out all of that going on. But if it is necessary, they must go to conference and all these things to go. But all of this playing about, I get so fed up this and frustrated with politics, Mr. Ellis. I don't know. Because when one government in power, they claim the other one traveling too much.
All right, but,
and then when they think they get handed, they don't.
Okay, I understand that. But I just want you to look at what is the main issue that we are facing right now. And that main issue is what? The state of the economy. From all that has been said, what is your understanding of the situation? I mean, as an average person out there, what is your understanding?
Well, what is your understanding? Somehow the country had to have to try to bring back the country. But it cannot get back where it was before.
All right, fair enough.
And then
somewhere.
Eleven unity.
Somewhere.
Hold on.
Somewhere, somehow, we have to do something, and that is because the country's position is.
Because the country position that it is in, the poor man put it there.
Okay, but what is your understanding of where the country is?
My understanding is that it's in a bad situation.
It's in a bad situation. When you hear people talk about how it can be fixed, what do you believe is valid, is something that they should try? We talk about cutting ministries and cutting ministerial pay and that sort of thing, but you need more than that.
another thing too. Well, one thing they did is they say you stopped in your road tax once a year.
Yeah.
And they put it on the gas.
Yes.
And now I hear people is complaining.
Yes.
That some of them are saying that they would prefer to pay one thing because now that they add up and they do the gas thing, they pay more in the long run than when they were paying the road tax one time.
Right. And how do you feel about it? Because you don't have a car, you don't have to.
I don't have a car.
Pay a gas.
But my children have cars and my grandchildren have cars.
And they complain.
I heard one out of them complain. But I just be on the street a lot, of the travel on the minivan a lot, and I hear talk myself.
You know, I know that the big problem that we face is that, in a real sense, I think yesterday, Dennis said it on Brass, that Barbadians are not prepared. A lot of Barbadians are not prepared for the austerity that is coming, and that is upon us already. That we have heard about it, but we don't have any idea that over the years, the real impact of severe austerity has been cushioned for us as Barbadians. So as this situation now unfolds, because in the previous experiences with the International Monetary Fund, we had what were called standby arrangements. Now we have something that is deeper. And we have gone out there to prove to the IMF that we are indeed serious. Because a lot has to do with the perception. Because if you have a perception that a country has promised to deliver on certain things, and then it appears when you were looking for them to be done, some excuse is found. You reach that point one day where to get the people to listen to you, you have to be serious. You have to present to them a scenario that says, look, we are indeed in a situation where we are taking the necessary steps. Because with all the consultation that has taken place over the years, I think they have a good idea of what the International Monetary Fund has been looking for. But on the ground, you are going to have a lot of rebellion against it. People will tell you about the poor. The middle class will complain bitterly. They may not, because it is not that politically popular to see the middle class getting hurt. And therefore, people look at the poor. But all of those people, everybody is in this together. And it's a very, very tough experience for people. A lot of times, people forget that in the past, the private sector, in the first wave of layoffs under the last administration, it was the private sector first, you know. In this particular situation here, it is going to be the government sector first, and the private sector is going to follow. Come January, February, you're going to see that start to unfold. So the total impact of this, nobody is discussing any. Is the program seeking to give the people from the private sector $5,000 too? I haven't heard that. I have heard no aspect of this program that is speaking across the board. It says the people who are now displaced from the government are the ones that are going to get the assistance. But it's going to be bigger than that.
Well, Mr. Ellis, the people that get laid off, I don't know, you go to gas stations, you travel around.
Mm-hmm.
All of the work, you see, not that I crank it down, because it's good that the young people doing it and they're not going out there and stealing. But all the work, you look around, you see their young girls and young boys working at the gas station, honing gas station work, and doing security work. And I admire them for that, because there's nothing out there that they can get to do. So when all these young people go home, what going to happen? Mr. Ellis, let me tell you something. No, I have a friend, my daughter, and the mother and father died. Both of them died. They was renting. And her daughter their daughter get a job at Waterworth. She have a younger sister that go, I think she goes to community college. So, you know, everybody was so glad that this girl got the job because she has all the responsibility, you know. She has to pay the house rent, and she has to look after her sister, and she have a 5-year-old daughter. So I am just hoping and praying that she don't get sent home. Because if she gets sent home, I don't know what might happen to her. Because she wouldn't be able to pay the house rent, so she would have to end up going at a relative to live or hope that she would have somebody that would take her in and help them.
Well, you know, the problem here is that the country's economy cannot sustain everybody in the situation that we are in right now. Some people are going to be touched severely, and it's a very painful period.
I anticipate, painful,
yes, very much painful. So. You know, it is not something to scoff at. And
I have people over there, I'm telling you, it's why it's true. Mm-hmm. I have people over there, some days don't have nothing to eat. Not that they don't want to work. They're trying the best to plant the little things to try to help to get started. But no, they what going on? Everybody's selling something.
How long have you noticed that?
I noticed that. That was going on before the government changed.
It was so before the government changed.
Yeah, but it got him worse.
And therefore it's going to get worse until you see one of the significant factors that can make a difference is things like the coming to Barbados of Ross University and major projects.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get those off the ground as promised by the government, that is also going to impact ultimately on providing job opportunities. And, you know, it is crucial to being able to get some of these big projects going. So that's
job opportunities for Barbadians?
Yes, yes. Have you heard about that?
I heard, there's one up in Cobley or something like that.
Well,
but I heard about some of the university opening up in Barbados that I don't know. I know one down the hill.
This one is a pretty big one that used to be in Dominica.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Right.
I heard about that.
And that's the one that is seen as having significant prospects for jobs and growth in the in that aspect of the economy. So one is just hoping that these projects can get started very early in January
so much things coming to Barbados, and it's going to bring growth, and it's going to bring that, and I all this money borrowing, we ain't having the kids no more. Tourism is something that you could guarantee on yearly. Something could happen and the tourists could stop coming. And all I hope and pray is, oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, help us.
Well, you changed the government in May. That's just yesterday. And I think, naturally speaking, you have to look to see to what extent having a change in administration changes the climate, the overall business climate, and encourages more people to come. The ultimate objective of all of this that we are going through is to make Barbados far more attractive for business and ultimately to bring about the growth that will create the jobs. That's the ultimate goal.
I was saying that for years.
Yeah, but in all fairness, you got to give the government a chance. It's only May. Okay. I know the frustration. I hear the frustration.
Right now, Mr. Ellis, I, on my own, you know, I kind of feel it, but I'm not struggling, but I feel for other people out there. That's the gospel truth.
Mm.
I feel for other people that I know that is going through a hard time. So, I hope the growth comes soon. That we could see it and we could benefit from it. So, thank you for, you know, letting me know what I was unsure of.
Well, we are here to help you to understand what is happening.
But
the other part of this is that we also need to listen to you all, people like you, so that you can help us to better appreciate how people out there on the ground are interpreting what is happening to them. I mean, you have demonstrated that you have a high degree of skepticism about all that is being said about growth and about new jobs. No matter what is being said now by the government, you got to see it to believe it. Agreed?
Right. Yes, that is so easy.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
Yes, you got to see it to believe it.
I don't know how long I have to do. Nobody knows that. But I hope that the time that I have done here, all this growth for this, you know, about that. It's time enough that we should see something. We should see some growth.
You can shock the grandchildren and the children today when they discover that you were on brass tacks, though.
Boy,
you expect what motivated you to call us today?
Pardon?
What motivated you to call us today? Because yours is not a regular voice.
Because hearing the people quarreling, as the gentleman said, then the DAP called, people quarreling, then the DAP called, the people quarreling. But everybody's in this. It's not one side, no, not this side. Everybody's in it.
But thank you very much for your contribution. Good afternoon. One more call before the news. Hello.
Top of the day to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I haven't been focusing on your program all morning, but I did hear one or two calls. And one of them, the caller surprised me when he suggested that if one pays the water bill portion of the bill, but not the sewage and sanitation one, that you would get away with that. But my understanding of things is that when you let us say the water bill is $32, and we say $45 is for the other two elements. Now, it's no good you going and paying $32, because what that simply means is that they will take the $32 and deduct it from the $45. So your water will be cut off for non-payment. And I thought that was a very smart move, because had it been done differently, as some of us anticipated, you could have gone along and pay your $32 and ignore the $45, let us say, if you're not in a position to pay that. So I just thought, I don't know if anyone has corrected it, but I just thought I would mention that to say that the government is smarter than some of us think they are, and therefore they know what they're doing. Now, there's another matter which I was taken in by a caller who worked in the, do you call it the armed forces over here, who's got this, what he calls a small pension after many years working in the public sector.
Yes.
Right. now,
Of course, coming out of the conversation, yes. I suggested that there is a need for him to have more consultation with the NIS to clarify exactly what has happened.
Yeah, I think you were right to do that, definitely. I am myself in a very similar position, but I do not understand how you can work in government for more than 10 years and then your pension is not even index linked at all. You know, you get the same pension from day one for the last 6, 7, 8 years. To me, that is not making too much sense. And after all, pensioners are the only people I know that do not have a body that can speak for them like a trade union can speak for its members. And therefore, I think the onus is on government to at least index link, to some extent anyway, pensioners' monies. Because the things in the shop are very expensive indeed, and they keep going up. They don't come down. Don't matter what comes down. If oil prices come down, their high prices remain high and sometimes go higher. If SNRL comes off, the prices still go up. They don't come down. So something is needed for pensioners to get an increase in their pensions. Even if it is a 3% per annum, that is vitally important. And considering that inflation is usually much above that anyway, so you just want something to cushion the blow, if you follow where I'm coming from.
Yeah, but all that comes right back to government expenditure. And you know what the logical response to that will always be. Can it be afforded? And if you're going to afford it, sometimes you have to send more people home so that you will be able to do it. So it all comes right back to government's capacity to pay. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Let me share with you this WhatsApp which was sent, because not everybody calls. This person says, she's given her name, but I wouldn't share it. She says she lives in Lower Applewaite in St. George. And she's writing on behalf of the residents of that area, because for far too long, they've had to endure the awful stench coming from a pig farm in their own community. Complaints to the health inspectors over the years have yielded no positive results, says the writer. This pig farm sits in the middle of the neighborhood, she says. And the farmer in question has now seen it fit to erect a second pig farm at the top of the neighborhood. And the stench coming from this farm is simply unbearable. She says that they've written to Town and Country Planning over a month ago, and they have had no reply from that office. And she says, I really would like to know how they could have given the farmer permission to erect pig pens at the top of the residential neighborhood. They've also written to the Ministry of Health and Wellness. That office has referred the issue to the Environmental Health Department at the St. Philip Polyclinic. Mr. Ellis, we cannot tolerate living like this any longer. She believes that people are getting sick from it. People are having to move away from their homes. Food vendors are losing customers because of this continuous stench in the atmosphere. The writer says, we need this matter dealt with now. This is unfair to us, having to deal with this stench day and night. Applewaite is no place for pig farms. This kind of letter is symbolic of what other people in Barbados are having to endure from neighbors who set up businesses next door. And try as they might, they have real difficulty getting any action whatsoever. I know it's not an easy position to be in when you have to look at two aspects of the problem. On the one hand, you have the people who are trying to earn a living, but then there are those who reside in the area and are offended by whatever business those people are running. And it is important. I mean, we are in an era where today you have to have environmental impact assessment, you have to have dialogue with residents in an area. Perhaps it is necessary for the Town and Country Planning Department to look at this and take it far more seriously. As we review the Town and Country Planning legislation, because you remember there's a green paper right now which has been, it's still available for comment. The deadline for making comment has passed, but from what I gather, they are still willing to take your observations and your recommendations. And I really suggest that you should go and have a look at that green paper and see to what extent this particular type of issue is being covered in it. It's important that you make your contribution in this regard. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Yes, good morning, David.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, I have a situation like that, but I ain't really come to talk about that. I could probably...
There's so many people who have those complaints around Barbados.
Because allowing businesses to set up in residential area that was always laid out for houses and allowing them to kind of put their businesses and disadvantage the people who live there. But I didn't come to really talk about that this morning. I come to talk about what is going on as far as government and looking at our economy. My thing is that I am prepared to give this present government at least 1 year to see how their plans develop. I think that we as Barbadians need to give them some time to develop what plans they have for Barbados. Yes, we can ask them questions. We can say some things, but we can't be that vindictive to come on a program every day and just look for things that can just pull down the country. We are in this together, and we have to build this country.
Let me ask you something. If you were a Dem, who thought that the last...
Who tell you that I am not a Dem?
No, that's not... Just listen to the question. If you were a Dem who felt that the last 5 years were spent by Barbados Labour Party people attacking the Democratic Labour Party, wouldn't you be motivated to try to get even by doing a similar thing now that the Bs are in power?
No, you don't think this is
what is motivating some people?
Yes, but the last 5 years that the last government people had given them 5 years up front, right? Some people start attacking them from ball one, which I was not one of those persons. Because life has to go on after the politics is done and everything. And it must be reasonable. After what has been happening to our country within the last 5 years, how can someone not sit down and bring a balanced argument?
Because that's the nature of politics. It's the partisan politics that we practice. So what do you expect? You just got to work with it. And what has to happen is that the people who have a different view need to be given the opportunity also to say what the alternative point of view is and to come armed with the necessary facts to counter it. I mean, we've had 10 years of a Democratic Labour Party administration. And in that period, all sorts of things were complained about. And you're going to find that it's going to be a situation where you can find arguments on both sides of the fence.
But the thing is, if the Prime Minister and her cabinet get this country to turn around and be back on a certain level, I want to hear these same people come on the program, because by that time things should start turning around once everything go according to plan. But we know that life don't work that way, right?
I think a year might be a bit too premature, though. The magnitude of the correction that must take place is significant.
When I said a year, I mean give them a year for everything that have happened, because I know it will not be happen. Not even within the 5 years that they have, everything will not come to par. I know that.
So what are you looking for in a year?
I am looking for to have the economy, have our foreign exchange looking better, looking to re-energize and to reorganize certain parts of the economy, because there are a lot of other parts that they cannot get happen within 5 years. Because Barbadians are very hard people to change to get an answer.
Barbadians are not peculiar in that regard. People who are resistant to change, you can't just bring about you can't dispel that particular behavior merely by saying it. You have to recognize that it is there, and then you got to work with the people to bring about the change. Unfortunately, what happens is that there's some people who believe that all you got to do is to say it, and people are naturally going to go in another direction.
This economy, what the government is going to bite all of us in our pockets, and we know that. You're going to bite all of us.
It already is doing so.
It's already
doing
that. I think as most Barbadians, after the last 5 years, we've been being bite here too, and now we are getting bite again. So it's a double situation. But my friend over at St. John, Larkers Parkers, right? Because that is my name for him, Larkers Parkers. I have not heard that word in ages, you know? And when he bring that there, I would not call the other name because I don't like that. But his name for me on the calling for, guys, Larkers Parkers. You know, he comes over to me as though, because I've never heard him until the last 3 years of the last administration on the program, supporting them in every area that he supports. I have no problem with him doing that. But, I mean, sometimes bring some balance. Bring some balance. We have to deal with this situation. I am a self-employed person, and it's going to bite us as self-employed people more than anybody else. It's going to bite us more than anybody else.
How are you planning for it? Recognizing that you are going to be touched by it, how are you planning?